You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
So you guys ready? You want to get started?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, cool. All right. 3, 2, 1. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, ready then.
Great compilation tape. Like breaking up is hard to do, and takes ages longer than it might seem. You gotta kick it off with a killer to grab attention. Then you gotta take it up a notch. But you don't wanna blow your wad, so then you gotta cool it off a notch. There are a lot of rules.
12 albums, 1 cent. Find our ad in Sunday's paper, take it to your mailbox. You'll get a lot more music. You'll get a lot more life. Look in your Sunday paper.
Welcome, listener. For those about to rock, we salute you. This is our podcast dedicated to exploring and talking about the greatness that was the music of the best decade. If you're ready for the best in retro music topics on the planet, we present for your enjoyment 80s mixtape Auto Reverse.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Banzai Retro Club, our mixtape episodes. And we are back again with Suzanne. Hello, Suzanne. Welcome back to another episode of Banzai Retro Club and 80s Mixtape. We are continuing our discussion on new wave of the 80s, breaking down every year and all of our favorite albums and or songs, because I'm going to have to change the rules a little bit. I don't know a lot of the albums per se, but there are some songs that jump out at me as far as new wave that are individual. But we are going to continue with Dave. Hello, Dave.
Yo-ho-ho and a bottle of bourbon.
Bourbon. All right. You're drinking bourbon tonight.
Yes, sir.
And what's in your glass this evening?
It's Elijah Craig.
I have not heard of that one.
Yeah, it's tasty. I like it.
Yeah? Yeah. Cool. Interesting. Very cool. And we have Suzanne back with us. How are you, Suzanne?
Hi there. I'm good. Good. You know, ready to go. Kind of sad that we're coming up toward the end, the later end of the decade here.
Yeah, we only have 2 years left of what we were going to cover. For me, it's getting very difficult to do, because I don't know as many in the later years as I do, like 83, 84, 85. Those were just unbelievable. But it's kind of sad wrapping it up. So we'll have to find something else to continue on with, another topic, and go with that. So, but for now, we are going to cover 1988. And I don't even know how to start this one, because I was really struggling with picking out specific albums. Like I said, I'm changing the rules a little bit. I'm picking songs versus albums, because some of the stuff that I was looking up, it's just like one or maybe two songs on a couple of albums that I know of. But let's start with Dave on this one.
Yeah.
What's your pick, Dave, for the album you want to discuss for 88?
Yeah, and you know, for the listener's sake, you know, what I think is always fun is sometimes you get a little backstory as to what goes on as we're kind of putting together a podcast. Scott, Suzanne, and I were all on a group chat where we talk about topic ideas and stuff like that. And you know, this very thing that Scott just talked about was like, I'm struggling here and I can't find an album. I'm just looking for, like, I'm just looking at individual songs now. And believe it or not, this year has been something I've been excited about for, several episodes now. Once I realized where the album that I'm going to talk about landed. So I was like, oh my God, how can he be not digging 1988, because it had this album in it. And so I was like, what the hell? What's going on? Where's my Scott? Go ahead.
I will say there is one very, 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 I'm going to throw one more very in there, very special album that was released in 88. We'll get to that when it's my turn.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, go on.
I can't wait to hear what everybody came up with, because...
Suzanne's struggling too, then.
Yeah, well, much more so than the years previous, let's put it that way.
Okay.
I had mentioned, I think a lot of the big new wave acts that were out there came up with their big heyday albums in the few years previous to this.
Right.
So it's kind of had, it still maybe have albums out, whether it's a compilation album or, et cetera, or it's one of their lesser albums that only has a couple of good songs on it. And it's still a great band and a great, and a great couple of songs, but you feel a little guilty recognizing that album when you couldn't recognize the ones before because of all the other stuff that was going on that other year. So that's my opinion on why it's harder.
I got you.
And now that we're four years past it, I'm going to say 84 is probably the peak. 84 was amazing.
I agree.
Yeah. 84, there was
84 did it.
84, even 85 had a lot of both 84 and 85 had some incredible music. So anyway,
and so Dave, by the way, yeah, I just want to let you know, for the 1984 episode that was posted, I was actually listening to that walking around the streets of Rotterdam, and it was kind of interesting to me to be thinking that, I wasn't that far from where New Wave got its start and it had its roots. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like an interesting moment to be listening to you guys talking about your favorite New Wave albums, knowing that I wasn't that far from, the apex of this whole thing. So it was great.
Yeah, well, if you were in London, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be surreal.
Yeah.
Listening to some of the songs that we threw in to, be part of the podcast, it had to really be very connecting.
Yeah, yeah, it's very,
for
it was
the
very
moment.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. that's cool, man.
Yeah. Back to my point, 1988 was the start of my senior year. I graduated 1989 of high school, and something that I said in one of the earlier episodes was that I lived in a small southern town in Florida, but in 1986, my sister graduated high school and we moved to still a small town, but northern Florida. And this was a town called Claremont. So for anybody that's listening, Claremont Highlanders rule, go. All right. So
I know where Claremont is, actually. It's just north of Ocala right there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. Exactly where that's at. And so, when we moved at the start of my sophomore year. So I had kind of a new introduction to groups of friends and connections that, I would get as I started working at a part-time job. So in 1988, I was still kind of a nerdy guy that would run as quickly as I possibly could to my next class because I like to get there and just get settled. And when you're starting the school, or you're starting those classes for the first time, you get kind of the pick of where you're going to sit. The fun part about this particular class, which was my chemistry class, the seat that I landed in right at the beginning, he didn't move anybody. He left everybody in the seats that they picked as soon as they started class. So I was in the back corner, furthest away from his desk and furthest away from the front chalkboard. So I'm in the back corner. And by the way, science and math are not my strongest subjects. I struggle with those. So who sits in front of me is a valedictorian, Shane. So if you ever want help getting through chemistry class, make sure your valedictorian sits in front of you. So, so Shane's sitting in front of me, and then a good friend of mine that I got to meet up with, you know, through my work associates, Jason, was to my right. So the three of us really had a fun dialogue, and we made up a name that we called, we dubbed ourselves the Chemistry Corner. So, so the, you know, us three making up that back corner of the class. Now, the person that filled out this spot that was kitty corner from me was Krista. And Krista was the principal's daughter. And she's, you know, one of those types that like to try to go outside the bounds of, you know, being normal because she didn't want to make people remember her as the principal's daughter. So Krista had a, I would say, a very wide range of musical tastes. And so she introduced me to this album. And so I wouldn't have known it had it not been for Krista, who we dubbed as our Lady Auxiliary for the Chemistry Corner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, once again, we're geeks, so we get off on, you know, those little stupid jokes. So we had a Chemistry Corner, our Lady's Auxiliary, the four of us in that corner, and, you know, just we had a good time as we're, you know, doing our best to get through class. You know, obviously Shane had an easier time than I did. But Krista introduced me to the self-titled album Information Society. And to me, that was so pivotal for me. I just loved this album as soon as I had gotten a hold of it and digested it. And it's one of those things that I carried with me with when I was in the Navy, and like with a cassette, you know, I'd listen to it on my Walkman. As soon as I had the opportunity, I bought the CD for it when CDs became out. And, you know, so I've always had this album kind of in my playlist of music. So I absolutely, and this is what I consider as my gateway drug to my musical tastes, because my musical taste would mature as I graduated high school, I joined the Navy, and then I got more exposure to other musical types courtesy of my fellow sailors. But, you know, I was kind of open to giving that music a shot because of Information Society opened the door to not just your standard top 40 hits. And so I really got into them. One of the first concert experiences that I actually had, and I had mentioned before, was going to Grad Night 1989, which was at Walt Disney World. And what they do, if I don't even know if they still do this or not, but at Walt Disney World, they closed down the park for all the regular patrons, and then they leave it open after night for all the graduating seniors that are in Florida. So you can, you know, you bus your graduating seniors to Walt Disney World, and then they have the run of the park, and then they have concerts throughout. Now, New Kids on the Block, they were at Cinderella's Castle, so I did check that out because that's where the girls were. But Information Society was there also, and I remember catching them and just loving what they were performing. So all of these songs on here I like, with the exception of Make It Funky. So I think all of them are great songs. If I had to pick a hidden gem, I'm going to have to go Over the Sea, because what they do is they intermix the Star Trek dialogue into their songs. And one of the quotes that they use in Over the Sea, which is Captain Kirk saying, "In every revolution, there's one man with a vision." That came from their Mirror Mirror episode. And that's always been a quote that I've used, like even on LinkedIn, and I've used it as just as a go-to catchphrase because I just love the message. And so they sampled in a whole bunch of Star Trek stuff into these songs on this album, and it was just cool throughout. So I love, love, love this album. In every revolution, there's one man. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Oh, wow. Good story.
Thank you.
I want to know what you're thinking. Tell me what's on your mind.
Pure energy.
I remember being a cool song.
I love that song. It's a great freaking song. It was actually, Dave, it was first on my list.
It was first on your
list? Not necessarily the album. Remember I said, yeah. I gave the disclaimer at the beginning of the show.
Right.
That actually I'm doing songs. So What's On Your Mind was one of the first things that popped up for me when I was looking through doing my research for this year. Anyway, and Suzanne, how do you feel about this one?
Yeah, you know, that's a great song, and that definitely has a huge 80s feel to it. It harkens back, I guess, a little bit to the earlier, you know, Depeche Mode type of sounding songs.
Yeah.
Now this wasn't, by the time 1980 rolled around, maybe I was kind of, struggling a lot more with like finding a job and, you know, switching jobs, or I had a job I hated. So I wasn't quite, I didn't have, detailed knowledge of this album, but, it's definitely one of those 80s songs that you hear it and you're right back there in the clubs and such. So. Good choice. Like something I wouldn't have thought of. Like I didn't really, you know, see this jump out at me. But once I hear the song and those lyrics, it's like, oh, yeah, that was everywhere.
Yeah.
So, cool pick.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, if you're looking for like a slower paced song, that's kind of like an unexpected thing that's on this album. Repetition would be a good one. So I guess it's almost there. Their version of your slower paced ballad, but not necessarily being a ballad, but you know, as much as you can be for new wave techno pop. But yeah, I like I said, everything that was in this I loved. I even so far as I know that later on they had a special where they were trying to get bands that were broken up. I think it was a VH1 show, and they got bands to perform one last time together. And they had a special about this, about Information Society, and they couldn't get Kurt, who is the lead vocal, to come back. So there was like a whole bunch of drama with that. And I think if you go and find the archives of that show, and you even, I think even on his personal website or something like that, he had like a long explanation as to why he didn't want to jump back and do that thing. But now he's doing it again. He's back with the band. So it's like one of those things that was maybe short-lived at the time where he's like, I don't want to be always known as Information Society. I have this other thing going on now, and that's my world, and I don't need to go down that road. But I guess if you're really into the band, I know you can – they're performing again.
That's cool. That's a good pick. As soon as I read the title of the one song, What's On Your Mind, I knew right away. I'm like, wow, that was pretty, you know, it was there.
Yeah.
It was definitely in the mix of things as far as, pop new wave stuff going on. So Suzanne, would you like to go next?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, sure. And sorry, I was checking out a couple things on my phone just to try and.
I think you're gonna take my album, I think.
Maybe, but only because I think we have much more limited choices this year, as I said. Yeah. So it's nice of you to acquiesce to let me do this one if that's the case. But looking at a lot of these albums, I might have to go with REM. Had an album called Green that year.
Okay.
And I was kind of a decent REM fan. And now I have to, you know, kind of maybe preface this a little bit in that I also had an REM album called Murmur, which I thought was a really terrific album and probably a better album than Green. Once again, the years that some of these other REM albums came out, there was so much other absolutely superlative stuff going on. That it didn't really get a mention from me. But if you look at this one, Orange Crush is on it. Stand is on it. And there's just some really cool sounds on there. Like, you know, a lot of very jangly guitars. I'm reading like mandolin, which I guess I'm kind of remembering. I was trying to look at one particular song, which was a weird little number called Hair Shirt, which I still don't even know what the heck it was about. But I
that sounds really creepy.
Yeah, well, hair, I mean, it,
yeah, it puts, does sound it puts really the lotion creepy. On its skin. That's
I'm vaguely remembering it being something about mental illness, but I could be wrong. Okay. But
I don't mean to downplay that at all. Really, that's a problem. That's a serious problem.
No, but the song itself was kind of beautifully delivered. But it was like almost a pretty kind of guitar going in the background. I definitely think that R.E.M. kind of deserves a mention out there in the world of new wave. I think they cranked out a lot of great music, and Stand and Orange Crush were a lot of fun. They were good songs. So I think I'm going to go with them. Mm-hmm. I'm a little torn over a couple of other things that were going on during this year, but I would agree that a lot of music was changing, and I think some of the real standout albums of this year were not necessarily new wave albums. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, that is the problem.
There were some great albums, but they weren't necessarily new wave albums.
There are some amazing albums that came out that year, and they're not necessarily new wave, like you're saying. That's a really good point. And that brings me back to my struggle. Like, okay, I was very into the you know, the big hair, heavy metal, all that stuff, and this was a huge year for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So, but I totally I see where you're coming from with R.E.M. I am not a fan of R.E.M.
I think I remember you heard you say that before.
Yeah, the one song I do like is the one that you mentioned, is Orange Crush, and it kind of goes with, you know, my high school days, because we were the Orange Crush before the song ever came out, because our colors were orange and black, not black and orange and black.
Yeah, that's my kids' high school's orange and black. It's like Halloween colors.
Yeah, we're the Huntington Beach Oilers, because there were back in the early 1900s. There's a lot of oil fields in Huntington Beach, so we became the Oilers. Anyway, Orange Crush, it's got a good sound to it and good groove, and I think it just has a certain bit of nostalgia for me with my high school. Alma maters are always a little bit more important than some other songs.
Follow me, don't follow me. Got my spine, I've got my orange crush.
Follow me, don't color me.
Got my spine.
Is one of my most.
Fun.
I know. I got. I have to disagree.
I don't like it.
Okay. Now
I thought it was fun. Like, you could get up and kind of do what they told you to do.
So this is the thing I love about music, and I discussed this recently. I was on another podcast, and we talked about just Pink Floyd's The Wall, which Jason is going to come on our show, and we're going to talk about Pink Floyd more in more depth. Of a lot of their albums. but I was talking to him about it, and I'm like, you know, music is so – it's okay for everybody to have opinions about music.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's encouraged, you know? It's great. Sure. Everybody can say, well, this song is awesome, and then somebody else can say, well – nah, I don't like that song so much, but I love this song, and somebody else can disagree or agree with it, and everybody can have their own opinions about songs.
Because well, I think that it's true all about as long as you're in the same kind of genre, you know, like you can like different things in the same genre and still like feel like you're a kindred.
But... yes, that's true. That is very true. But I boil it down to what relates to each individual person. With each individual song, it's very personal. Everything is music is very, very personal, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And I've said that in episodes past. That's just I have a really strong feeling about that music is very personal, and everybody's going to relate to a certain song in a certain way. Now there are some that are popular and just because they're like an earworm, you know, it's easy to get into the beat and get into the whole thing. But really, I love Orange Crush, but I don't like Stand at all. Like, I'm like, what are we at a circus?
I thought it was kind of like a time warp, like Stand, then Face North, then Face West.
Yeah. You know? And there, you know what? That it's funny because a lot of those songs that are like instructive.
Mm-hmm.
To tell you how to dance kind of thing mm-hmm. are very popular. I mean, look at the Macarena. Wow. I'm not trying to compare
Macarena's
that.
Macarena's pretty corny, bud.
The Macarena is terrible. I can't stand that one either. But they become popular because they're very just you can listen to them and they tell you kind of what to do. Like you said, stand north, look north or mm-hmm. whatever the – lyrics are. I can't think of it right now, but and I'm not trying to discount your pick at all. Just go with that. There's a couple of songs on here that I like, but then there's this Stand. I can't stand that song.
Can't stand.
All right. Can't stand. Yes. So Dave, what about you with this one? REM.
I like REM, and there's a lot of great songs that this band puts out. The first song that comes to mind, isn't on this album, but What's the Frequency, Kenneth? Love that song. Yeah. Losing My Religion, love that song. Stand, once again, love it. Orange Crush, love it. But I seem to know just the songs that really got a lot of airplay. The other songs that are on this album, I'm not that familiar with. I guess where I'm having a struggle with is I'm trying to put them in the checkbox of being new wave. Because in my brain, I have them more as alternative rock.
They're totally new wave.
Yeah, I think they're pretty new wave.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
They were okay, so alternative rock really did not – I don't think it really came to fruition until the mid-90s.
Okay.
Alternative rock. I think we went from new wave into, and then this is where the late 90s get kind of murky, you know,
right.
Like we're talking about where things were really changing and new genres were kind of being developed. And this, I really think it was, it's interesting where everything was going at this time.
Yeah, a lot of transition.
It's hard to really narrow down what was new wave versus grunge versus, you know, whatever.
It's true. There are a lot of different distinctions and different definitions that people cling to. I always pretty much thought REM was new wave. For I remember they opened for the Police when I saw them, so. You know, you got to be kind of new wave to do that.
Yeah,
I think they were definitely on the forefront of the new. Well, not forefront because they were kind of later in the 80s, but I mean, they had a few albums before that, but they were definitely somebody that you had to recognize as a new wave artist.
Okay.
In my opinion. Yeah. And
they had very kind of cool, mysterious lyrics, which.
Oh, sure. They're no ZZ Top.
No, no.
Or The Cult, like I brought up in okay, if you're listening to the show, it's not a spoiler because in 1987 The Cult came out with that album, and I was talking to Suzanne about it. Now, Dave, you haven't heard this part yet, but now that we're in 1988, this will be afterwards, so we're all good. Never mind.
Everybody, ignore that whole segue. There's nothing to see here. Yeah. Just move on.
Exactly.
Move on. Yeah. We're good.
Don't mind me. Anyway. Wow, that was a tangent. Good one. Good one. Good tangent.
Okay.
So basically, both of you guys are total agreement. REM should be considered new wave. I understand loud and clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then we're not in agreement as to whether we love the band. I kind of do, and he kind of
no,
doesn't.
It's
all good.
I'm with you. I'm with you on liking the band, Suzanne. So that's two to one. So we're good.
Okay. Majority rule. What do you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
I don't know.
It's okay.
So, we're voting Scott off the island, so it's all good.
I'm the big loser. It's all right.
No, but is it your turn, Scott? You didn't get your pick yet.
He didn't get his pick yet.
It is my turn.
Is there an album left that needs to be discussed, or are you going songs?
No. August, which is the eighth month of the year, right?
Oh, my God. You're going to make me think. Okay. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And there was the eighth day of the year, and then there was the year 1988.
Yes. So 8/8/88.
There was an album released called Straight Outta Compton by NWA.
That is not new wave.
Okay, that's not new wave. It has NW in it, but it stands for NWA. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. I just had to say it because it's my last name. I always have to bring it up. Straight Outta Compton. Like when people ask me my name, I say Scott Compton.
Straight out
and,
of.
You know, they start asking me, how do you spell it? You know, like straight out of. And they go, oh, okay.
Right away. I don't know that would have helped me.
It really does.
But like, I think I can pretty much guess Compton.
Straight out of Compton. Like straight out of Compton. Oh, okay. Thanks. So anyway, I'm just trying to be funny and apparently not do well. I'm going to go with Erasure.
Ah. Okay.
And that is called The Innocence. Innocence, like I'm innocent. There's a couple songs in there. Chains of Love. Love that song. A Little Respect is a great song. And then there's another song called Ship of Fools, which is a really, really good song too. I don't know the rest of the album, I'll tell you that much. But there is a song track number eight called Yahoo, which who knows? They could have been the inspiration for
Yahoo.
The right?
Yeah, look at that. This was
before internet. So who knows? Anyway, I'll have to go back and listen to that album or to that song and see if it had any kind of digital references or internet references that could have been inspiration. Because this way before the internet.
Right.
But who knows? Could be. Or it could just be some cowboy song. Who knows? I want to be a cowboy and you can be my cowgirl.
What the heck?
Yeah. Anyway.
Here in England, they didn't really have half cowboys. That's all. Very American. You know.
It really is a very, even though a lot of the spaghetti westerns were filmed in Italy, which is, you know, in Europe, but weird, right?
Well, that's true. Yeah.
But that was just because of financial things. It was cheaper to do that. Anyway, back to the album. Chains of Love. Absolutely one of my favorite 80s songs. I love that song.
Really cool song. Great dance song. Yeah. Definitely a club song. Both that and A Little Respect. Great dance song. This, yeah, these are great songs.
Yeah. And Ship of Fools, too, is maybe not as popular, but I remember that one very well.
I'd have to play it. I don't remember the title. I would recognize it. Yeah.
You will recognize it as soon as you hear it. Seriously. Mm-hmm. Like within, you can name that tune in 5 notes.
Ah. He was the baby of the class, you know. He really didn't know that 1 and 1 was 2, 2 and 2 were 4. He was the baby of the class, you know. He really didn't know that. The one thing that I will say about when we start getting into the late 80s here and bands like Erasure is that I think they started to have a kind of samey sound. Like like if you played me the songs, it would take me a minute to decide whether it was Yaz or Erasure or maybe even Depeche Mode, because I think they all started to kind of copy each other a little bit by this point, you know, and they were less distinct.
I totally agree with you. And they have a very they really move towards the dance club scene.
Right. Yeah.
It's very club mix sound. Like a lot of DJs, I'm sure, were able to take a lot of these songs and mix them up together.
Yeah. Yeah. Or AMD. And it was always like two guys and a girl, or one guy and two girls. But it was all, they were all making the same music. It was just weird.
Yeah. So anyway, Dave, what about you on this one? Do you know this one?
I know.
Background.
Yeah, I was trying to get Ship of Fools, trying to see if I recognized it. Yeah, that's not.
I hear it.
Yeah, it's sounding a little familiar.
Yeah, that does nothing for me.
You know Chains of Love, though, right?
Yeah, I know Chains of Love and A Little Respect.
A Little Respect. Yeah, those are great.
Yeah, those are definitely great songs. And you know, the funny thing is, I brought up the album on Wikipedia, and it was listing it as synth pop. So I'm just wondering, you know, when did that genre start and become, you know, a thing?
A good question, but I think it falls into that same category as new wave.
Definitely. New wave was synth pop, and that's I think that started pretty early and kicked things off. The fact that you could we talked about the fact that you could program the music, and that goes all the way back to like
the Howard Jones.
Howard
Jones discussion that you and I had. I really loved your story of how he went from synth to synth, you know, from keyboard to keyboard to keyboard, and started a little thing over here, and then he started this, and then he started that.
Yeah.
All kind of melded together and became this song that, you know,
one was playing, but obviously he wrote and programmed and just started off hearing dun 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 dun, 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 and you know that went on for a while just by itself, and then each different part of the song came up as he walked across the room and turned on different keyboards. But you know, so you could just create the song outside and let it play around you. I don't know, it's a neat thing. But you know, you couldn't do that kind of thing ever before. I think it wasn't quite, there was not the same capability, so.
Definitely not the same capabilities. Like, if you look back into the 60s and 70s when they were recording all these great albums, you know, they did, you know, overlapping tracks and stuff, but they were never able to do what they did with some of the computer programs and synthesizers that they had in the, you know, early to mid 80s and then on. So now everything's sampled, it seems like. There's so many songs out there that sample songs from when we were growing up, which is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah.
Some awful stuff or whatever. Yeah. No, it really is. It's very cool. So, because every once in a while you hear some random song on a pop station or something, or on, I don't know, just whenever you're listening to either streaming or whatever, you'll hear back in the background, you'll hear some old tune that you recognize. You're like, oh wow, that's, you know, Hall & Oates, first thing comes to my mind.
Yeah. You kind of feel ripped off of sometimes. I'm like, but that's mine.
Yeah.
Can we do that Sunday song? That's mine.
Well, anyway, so that was my pick. I have like a handful of songs that I could pick from. If you guys want to talk about that. But if you guys have backup or honorable mentions that you want to talk about, do you want to?
I might have one.
You're not, okay, you're not so allowed to say anything about ZZ Top.
No. Okay. No ZZ Top.
Or The Cult. No ZZ Top or The
Cult. I think The Cult is kind of out there. But, I'll respect the fact that you're thinking it's more of a rocker type thing.
I think it is rocking.
And, okay. Well, I think what I might mention, and it's not quite so new wavy, it does get to be pop, but I think that when he started out, he was more part of the whole new wave scene. George Michael went solo and had an album called Faith that year that was huge and just had a ton of songs on there. Now, I don't know if any of those individual songs I would call new wave songs, but he was right out there with like Boy George and Spandau Ballet and all those guys, in the beginning of the scene when he was writing songs with Andrew Ridgeway, I think his name was, and they were Wham. And, they had all the hair and all the kind of androgynous look with the earrings and stuff. So I think his roots were kind of in new wave. And then when he broke out on his own, it was a little bit more pop fare, but I think he was really pretty influential. So like I said, in a year when things were kind of winding down, I think that album was kind of a standout. And we had, I think, Father Figure and Faith and Monkey and, a couple of other really cool songs on there. And once again, he was all over MTV. Mm-hmm. Even in the towards the more waning years, I think he was still jumping around and shaking his rear end in the jeans with the leather jacket and doing cool videos and such. Oh, I think I Want Your Sex was like this huge song that was on the.
No, track. That what song is that? I don't know that song at all.
Yeah, so let's not forget that one.
Yeah, part one, part two, yeah, whatever.
He was quite a fixture in the 80s. So, and I know we've talked about him also because, sadly he died very young. But he was a trendsetter at the time. He was a quite talented guy. So that's my honorable mention.
Dave?
Yeah, well, anytime I think of a George, I just want to make sure you wake me up before you go-go.
You're so clever.
Yeah.
Go on.
No. That was a stupid joke. Insert there. That was it. I'm good. Drop the mic.
That's all you have?
George? Once again, I struggle with the inclusion of him as new wave. But what he was a trendsetter, and he was blazing the trail, for just having that open door of talking about sex, to the masses and to a teenage boy. It was like, well, everybody, not everybody does it, but everybody should. I'm getting that message from George Michael, then I guess it's okay. I think, it's like what he was selling in the 80s, we were gobbling up and taking it in. Yeah, I enjoyed the George Michael ride, but once again, like I said, I struggle with it. I feel like it's more top 40 because it got so played. And even though I know a lot of the songs and the albums that we're talking about, you know, here being new wave, it just feels like we're blending the lines right now. And I think it's because of, you know, the musical changes that were happening with this year and the year coming up, where, you know, those lines are very blurry. And so it's tough for me to figure out where, you know, what should be classified as new wave, because there's a lot of great music that was coming out that I was enjoying. But, you know, like I said, trying to figure out where that music fits in certain buckets is my struggle.
I think it's everyone's struggle.
Yeah.
Now, where I stand on George Michael is I really do like his. I like his music. I like a lot of his songs. I think he's really one of the most talented singers. There's so many songs that you just hear his voice, you're like, good Lord. Like, that's a gift of him, for him to be able to sing that well. I still lean towards that he's more like, at this time, more of a pop icon versus new wave, but I will be on board as far as him being, you know, influential and part of the new wave movement. Mm-hmm. Even though a lot of his stuff was more poppy, and played more on pop radio, the album actually was released in late 87. So that's why it was like charted in 88, because it became so popular in 88. It was released late in October of 87. But this is a really good album. I love this album. And my wife was like really, really upset when he passed just a few years back. And I mean, well before his time, what is he, 56 or 57, very young for,
that's scary.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're right around the corner from that. At least I am. Dave, you're a couple of years behind me, so. You know, and Suzanne, you're right there in that same mix.
I mean, it's scary.
Yeah. I mean, I had a great uncle that died at 52, and I'm 2 months away from 52 right now. And he was very fit in spin class, and actually he died in spin class. He was like,
oh my God.
He was on his spin bike, and he was like, and he had, yeah, I know. It was really, he was toned and fit and all that stuff, and took good care of himself. And it was just one little piece of, what do you call it? Like in his artery where it breaks loose or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And it just like, they said that he didn't even like make it to the floor. Oh, from the God. Bike. So anyway, yeah. I don't mean to get too crazy on that side point. George Michael was way before his time, and we've lost a lot of people like that. And maybe we should do a show on some of the
lost icons.
Some of our lost icons, you know, Prince and George Michael and Tom Petty and stuff like that. We could touch on that. But that's a really, really good album to bring up. So Okay. Anyway, I have a couple of like songs that I would love to run by you guys.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's hear it.
All right. I'm going to try to do this. Doodle-lidly, doodle-lidly, doodle-lidly. It's When in Rome by The Promise. The Promise by When in Rome. I can't talk.
Oh, yeah.
The Promise. I love that song.
That's a great song.
And it's the only song I know by When in Rome.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know that they had much success other than this. Maybe they did in Europe, but that was a cool song. Everybody loved that song.
I do remember they brought it back pretty strong in Napoleon Dynamite.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. There was a little, yeah, that was very prominent. And I think they didn't they close the movie with that song?
They did. That was like the ending ending scene like at the prom or something. And
yeah, yeah. And then it came back up at the end when they were playing like Tetherball or
Tetherball. That's a great. Yeah. That's yeah. Oh, that's awesome. It's so back then. Like do they even play Tetherball anymore? It might interfere with their phones, I don't know. Yeah. Oh, I wonder if there's a digital version of Tetherball.
Not quite the same impact though, literally.
Impact, nice. Oh, that's good stuff.
That's a good song. I didn't realize that was so late in the decade. You know, sometimes it feels like the songs were. Some of the songs feel like they come from earlier. I'm sorry, Dave. Your turn.
No.
What do you think on this song? You remember this one?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's great. I am not a fan of Napoleon Dynamite. So, all of your, you guys geeking out on that movie, I'm like, ugh.
Really?
Yeah. I saw it once and it did absolutely nothing for me. And I was like, why? God, I'm going to tangent here.
Okay.
There was this guy that I worked with, and he was like, you've got to see this movie. You have to see this movie. You have to see it. It's great. It's the best thing in the world. And
that's a bad setup right there.
Yeah. And, I remember the night where I told my wife Patty, I'm like, I got this guy at work, he's raving on Napoleon Dynamite, we've got to watch this. He's raving on it. And we started watching it, and I think the whole time we're looking at each other going, really?
You have to like have an open mind about Napoleon Dynamite. It's strange.
Yeah.
It is strange.
So
but it's strange in like a way that just like draws you in a little bit. You have to go with it.
But
it's endearing.
I'm good being one of the minority of the people on the planet that just don't like that movie. So I'm completely fine with that. I don't need to check that mark to say Napoleon Dynamite is a must watch movie or is a great movie. I don't get it. I've moved on. But as far as the song, The Promise When in Rome, I do like it. It's a great song.
That is a good song. So I've told you about my brother and my sister-in-law and their large family, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. So they just had number 14, 11 of their own and 3 adopted.
Oh, boy.
So for Halloween, they did the full cast of Napoleon Dynamite. And I'm gonna send you guys the picture because it's classic.
That sounds great.
Now, Dave, you may not appreciate it as much as Suzanne, but if Suzanne, it sounds like you liked the movie and you enjoyed it, you thought it was.
I do. I like the quirkiness of it.
I'm going to send you the picture. I'll send it through our messenger, and you have to see this picture because it is so funny.
That might be the only reason why I would want to have 13 children is so I can like dress up as the cast of a movie.
Did the whole cast. I mean, like the whole thing.
Like we cast Dirty Dancing. So.
If you guys hear a dog whining in the background, we just got a new foster greyhound today, and he's a little fussy. So,
gotcha.
Forgive us. Oh, anyway, his name is Harold.
Hi, Harold.
Oh. Okay. Welcome, Harold.
I'm calling him Harry or Hank, just whatever suits me at the time. So we've only had him here for a few hours, and he's just uncomfortable right now. Anyway, I will send this picture, and maybe we'll even post it with the podcast later on. Because it's pretty good stuff. They They had all the kids lined up and they nailed it. They have everybody from Uncle Rico. My brother is Uncle Rico, and one of my nephews is, you know, the I have two nephews that are Napoleon and Pedro, and then there's a couple that are like even the like the gangster guys that were in the car. Suzanne, you might remember this, but they were in
like, oh yeah, and like Pedro's friends who were in the big bouncing lowrider, you know, or whatever that was.
They even made little that was the two youngest ones. They're in that like a little pull behind crate or car,
like a trailer.
And yeah. So they put them in there, and it's funny. It is good stuff. It's one of the best photos of my family that I've ever seen. It sounds ridiculous, but I love it. Anyway, we should probably pick a couple other songs. Do you guys have any other honorable mentions?
Well, I think Rattle and Hum came out that year.
Yeah, and that was big album, had a lot of big hits on it.
Yeah, but once again, a compilation type greatest hits type album.
Kind of a greatest hits, but it was to go with the, you know, soundtrack of the movie Rattle and Hum, which was basically a concert movie, right?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever seen it, but yeah, I remember.
It kind of fell into that category as a greatest hits and movie soundtrack.
Yeah, so does it count? It's not really fair because then every good song is on there.
Oh no, and there's a lot of good songs on there too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Pride in the Name of Love is on there, and I was looking at that earlier. There's quite a few good songs on there. Anything else, Dave? Do you have anything?
I was going to mention, as far as song goes, She Drives Me Crazy, Fine Young Cannibals.
You know, Fine Young Cannibals, I've been looking up stuff about this Fine Young Cannibals album because that was a really good album. But I'm finding conflicting information as to whether it actually is from 89 or 88. And that's the only reason why I didn't say it, because I was going to save it for 89. But that was a really good album.
Yeah.
Could the single have been released in 88 and then the album released in 89?
Maybe. I can't find – I find different information depending on what site you go on or what page on Wikipedia you're on. So I couldn't really tell you. I think I kind of went with 1989 because that's what I saw most about the album itself. But it could be that song itself might have come out earlier, and maybe that's where some of the confusion is. But that was a great song.
Yeah, according to Wikipedia, She Drives Me Crazy was released in 88 by Fine Young Cannibals and included in their 1989 album, The Raw and the Cooked. So I guess they did a release before the album.
I guess so. So I would agree, though. That was a really cool song. It was a fun song that just got you bouncing in your seat. So. And it was unique. Like, it didn't sound like we're mentioning that it was getting to a point where a lot of the bands were starting to sound samey when it came to like dance music. But this was like an upbeat song that didn't quite sound exactly like that mold of all electronic, you know, English sounding bands, even though they were a British band too. So give them a little credit for that. They were kind of unique sounding.
The way I feel. Come on, frog. What's the deal?
Come on, Debbie.
My clock is ticking. Sheesh. Tell me what you got in mind. 'Cause this pig's running out of time. Treat me right. Don't make me cry. Or I promise this pig will fly.
She drives me crazy.
Oh, oh, like no one else. Oh, oh.
She drives me crazy, and I can't help myself.
Another one is Wild Wild West.
Hmm.
by Escape.
I thought that was fun.
It's a fun song.
Yeah.
And then, now, tell me, do you guys think Robert Palmer qualifies as new wave?
Kind of. Some of his songs did.
Because he was with, you know, with Duran Duran in, yeah. What was the name? Oh my gosh.
The Power Station.
Power Station, yes. And that would definitely fall into.
Right, and he did Addicted to Love, which was huge on MTV. That video was just like parodied like forever.
The follow up to that was Simply Irresistible, which was 1988. So that it jumped out at me as something I wanted to mention. So.
Yeah, I'd let that one pass. Not everyone. I think he kind of predates New Wave. Like, he had songs out in this, maybe in the late 70s that were not exactly New Wave songs, but he kind of morphed into more of a New Wave type of artist.
And I would agree with that. But he's got some really good stuff. I really like another artist that we lost way too soon. He was young, too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, late 50s?
Yeah,
mid
wow.
to late. He was young. So, along with, you know, like Michael Hutchins, another person that we lost way too young.
Yeah, you know, it's really sad.
Yeah.
Bringing me down here.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but sometimes reality sucks.
Yeah.
I thought reality bites.
Oh, that's what it is, reality bite, according to Winona.
Yes. Just a lot of mouth or, you know, action going on, the sucking and the biting of reality.
Yes.
I don't know. I think pickings get a little slimmer around this point, so.
Yeah.
I have a heck of a lot more to throw out there.
89 is going to get interesting. I do believe I have a pick for 89. But you guys make questions.
I just blew mine.
I'm going to take a look here and maybe see what I see for 89.
Yeah, 89 is going to get. I have one in mind, and you guys may argue whether it's new wave or not.
Anyway. Yeah, once again.
But that's going to be our cliffhanger.
Maybe we should have just done like 1977 and 1987, and then we wouldn't be having these conversations.
Hey.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't have told my story, you know, for Information Society.
That's true.
And that is definitely an 80s sounding thing, so, you know, gig.
Great pick.
Yeah, I think there were some good picks here and some transitional type picks.
Yes.
Transitional. Yes. No, that's a great term for this.
Yes.
Because we're like the late 80s really were a transitional period in music. And there were a lot of stuff that was like club, more club related. Poppy club dance songs, dance albums that really became popular. And then we also moved into rap. Like, rap was really getting crazy popular at the time.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, NWA and, you know, Ice Cube. And there's a lot of stuff that came out in the late 80s that were rap related. And but I know nothing about rap, so we're not going to go down that road.
Yeah, not never.
Because I can't. I have much. No opinion on it. I really don't have an opinion on it. Wasn't much of a fan because I went leaning more towards the metal stuff, but anyway. Any other bands or songs that you guys want to talk about real quick? Like, or even just mention, not even talk about, just mention.
Not new wave, not really.
Yeah. Like,
personally, go ahead.
No, like Skinny Puppy was a band. I remember the name. I don't remember any songs by them. Skinny Puppy was a band. Fishbone, which was ska, but kind of an offshoot of new wave and reggae and kind of a combination of the two. And then there's a few other things in there. I like I said, I was kind of curious about Robert Palmer, what you guys thought about him as far as that era, that genre.
Yeah, I think he went in and out of a
wave. And then
he was very clean cut and sophisticated and older looking than the real, Aquanet hair gel types. Yeah. Let's say he wasn't that kind of new wave, but his songs were still kind of up there, I think, with being listened to the same people. You know, that Addicted to Love song was just too big to ignore.
So now, earlier in the decade, did you guys bring up the Bengals?
I think we talked about the Bengals at some point, didn't we? Maybe around the same time as the Go-Go's?
Oh, yeah, somewhere around. Yeah, I know the Go-Go's were, but I don't remember the Bengals.
I think we might have mentioned them briefly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they got a top album spot.
No. But.
Okay. Just Eternal Flame came out in 88.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, now, sometimes you can qualify them as new wave, but Eternal Flame, I don't think is a new wave song.
No,
it's like
not
a
at
pop
all.
Love song, and it's a nice song. I like the song. I think the Bengals were a great band, but in my eyes, I don't know if that one really cut it for new wave.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you on that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of Suzanne, you use the word transitional, which was a great term. You have a lot of bands like Soul Asylum and Jesus and Mary Chain, which are they're starting to get it a little bit leaning towards heavier, grungy type of sound. Not necessarily with a lot of feedback and stuff.
Yeah, I remember that trend starting.
Not really like Soundgarden or Nirvana, but it was pushing towards that direction. There's a lot of albums like that. Jane Wilde.
And they were very popular. They were very popular. Oh,
very popular at the time, yeah. It's really a weird year, 88. There's a lot of transition and change going on. You start to wonder, okay, what is considered new wave at this point?
And where is it going? Where's everything heading?
Where's everything heading? Yeah. Very good. Yeah. So there's just a lot of Joe Jackson came out with an album that year too. A lot live album, but some of his older stuff, I guess. Kim Wilde.
How about UB40? Would they be considered new wave?
I would put them in the new wave category, yes.
Yeah, they sort of were new wave, but they were definitely, reggae,
Yeah, so Red Wine came out in 88.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Pretty Politi had an album that year, too.
Love Scritti Politti, but just love that the album from 1985 or 86.
That was a good one back then.
Yeah, Cupid and Psyche.
And then you start getting the Big Audio Dynamite.
I really like Big Audio Dynamite.
And they're starting to come up. They're up and coming from 88.
Uh-huh.
Escape Club, which something I mentioned Wild Wild West. Thompson Twins. Oh, no, that was greatest hits. Never mind. Forget that one. We love the Thompson Twins, but that was a greatest hits. There's a handful of others that are definitely on the fringe of the new wave going into the 90s. And wow, we could get into a whole new series of what happened in the 90s as far as music goes.
I guess I'm not quite as up on the 90s.
I'm not
either.
I'm not really good with the 90s stuff. I was really impressed with your guys' reviews of Friends. That was awesome.
Oh yeah. Well, I guess I watched a lot more TV than listened to music in the 90s.
I would totally be down for a grunge series if we did it.
We could try it. I guess there were a few bands that I liked that were along those lines, let's say. Because by that time, you didn't have that much other choice. You know? That's where things were going.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if I could do a breakdown of each individual year.
Uh-huh.
I would have to pick if we wanted to break it down into like a few episodes where we picked our top five grunge albums, and I already can tell you which one Dave will pick right off as number one. I already know his number one grunge album pick.
You probably do.
Yeah, I might be able to pick like three.
I won't say it right now because I don't want to be a spoiler. I don't want to be a spoiler.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And Dave, you know I know.
No, I totally know you know.
You know that I know that you know that I know.
I know that you know. Yes.
Now, though, do we have to make the distinction between 90s music and grunge music? Or, you know, because there's a couple of bands I was listening to that in the 90s that I wouldn't say were grunge. They were maybe like the leftovers of new wave.
Okay.
But, you know, they were playing around the same time and probably listened to by similar groups of people.
Like maybe Live?
Something
like that?
No, or? like the Sundays came out with albums in the night in the early 90s.
Oh, the Sundays, I remember.
And
that.
I love the Sundays. Mm. And it wasn't, I mean, they were kind of like I know the people on the New Wave boards and groups and such that I talked to all remember the Sundays, even though they weren't officially 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say they were grunge, but they were closer to grunge than maybe some of the, you know, the bands that previous. They weren't like a synth pop band.
Right.
And, maybe a few other bands I was listening to around that time that, you know, weren't the biggest grunge bands, but they were all kind of contemporary to that. Like, Delamitri had an album and...
Oh, Delamitri? Really?
Yeah.
You're going to bring that up? I love Delamitri.
Yeah. I did really like that Roll to Me song. That was a terrifically fun song.
My favorite song by Delamitri was Just Like a Man. It's a freaking great song. It was not very well known, but that's a great song.
Yeah, and I was big on Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh my God, I love that band.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't get Dave started. Don't get Dave started on Toad.
Yes.
See, now, would you call them a grunge band, though? Were they,
no.
I mean, they were around that time.
No, they're not
but
grunge.
They weren't exactly a grunge band.
No, they're not grunge, but they are.
And then
they're some.
Spin Doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Category.
Yeah, Toad.
Okay, so
good
maybe
call.
We have enough content for a 90s conversation.
We might be able to do something on that. Anyway. Okay, tangent. Tangent alert. Tangent alert. Alert.
Gee, we're going way over our time allotment today.
Yeah. No, actually.
You mean there's a time allotment? What the hell?
We're right about an hour.
Where the hell did that start?
I don't know.
Seems
like I have to finish doing crap for work that I didn't do on Friday.
Yeah. No, we're about an hour in. As far as like the topic itself, we chatted for, you know, 10 or 15 minutes on the front end, but we're like an hour. So it's a good show. Good time for a show.
Good time.
We can wrap it up. You can find us at bonsairetroclub.com and you can email us at mcfly@bonsairetroclub.com. You can please actually leave a review through either iTunes or whatever. And Podbean is really, really doing well for us. Thank you so much for all our Podbean listeners. It's just so exciting to see so many downloads and so many people following the show. It really makes my day every time I hear that we have more listeners on Podbean. So that's another thing. If you can keep following us on that, and you can check in with any of us on our different Facebook and Twitter accounts. Suzanne, Twitter. What's your Twitter?
It's Suze Matabone.
Right. And then your website also. You just had your...
SuzanneMatabone.com. MATTABONI. And actually, I'll be coming out with a new blog shortly. You guys I'm catching up.
I gotta say, 1982 was really done well.
Yeah, I like it. All right, I'm getting more into like the personal story end of this.
Yeah, I love it. You're a very talented writer, and it's really fun to listen to read your stories. So anybody out there, go check out her website, SuzanneMattaboni.com, and MattaBoni.
Wow. Yeah.
Bam.
Bam.
Nailed that one.
Or if it's easier to remember, it's straight out of Mattaboni.
Straight out of Mattaboni.
That's hysterical.
That seems like it should be a t-shirt somewhere. Straight out of Mattaboni.
Yeah, that's funny. I'll make that t-shirt up.
And then Dave is in charge of all of our like other social media accounts. He does the Facebook, and well, we kind of all contribute to Facebook, but the Twitter account, Bonsai Retro Club, you can follow me, and it all ties back up into Bonsai. Everything's about Bonsai, which is great. I am at 80s Auto Reverse on Twitter, and I think that's about it, right? Did I cover all the bases?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we're getting better at the Facebook thing. So for listeners, if you do go out, do follow us on Facebook, because we're getting better at getting a little bit more content on there that's related to the topics that we're talking about, which is really awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
This is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
We've been doing this. Dave and I have been working together for, what, a little over 3 years now? Between Bonsai and the 80s reboot.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Time flies.
It's like right after. It's 2015.
Yeah.
So it's closer to 4 years, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. And we've had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And you know, we hope to continue to have this much fun. I know we will.
Yeah,
because we just don't really
groove here with you two.
We don't run out of topics, really.
We're not going to. We're not going to now that we've expanded our the decades that we cover. I mean, even if we just stuck to the 80s, we still had, you know, this is proof.
A lot.
Yeah, this is proof positive. You're right here with this whole new wave conversation, with what we're doing with the essential movies. All that stuff, you know, the 80s bucket is never ending. But, you know, expanding to 70s and 90s content, yeah, we're never going to be running out of ideas.
Yeah.
I can talk, so it's all good with me.
And we're so glad to have you on board with us, too.
Thanks.
We had a lot of fun with Rose. Rose had a great contribution to the show. And now that she's, you know, doing her music career and she's kind of going her own direction, it was great to have her on for another episode.
Yeah, that was fun.
And bring her in for 85. And I hope she comes back again. We have a lot of cool stuff planned, and we were talking through Facebook Messenger. Suzanne and I were talking about doing a Stephen King series of, you know, a handful of episodes. Maybe not as many as what we're doing with the new wave stuff, but we could definitely talk about some Stephen King stuff that was released in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, books that came out back then, because we're both big Stephen King fans, and there's some really cool stuff in the works. So we're gonna have a lot of fun with it.
Awesome.
And
yeah,
it's awesome. Dave, were you a Stephen King fan at all? I don't remember.
Not really. I mean, the movies.
I know you loved Running Man. Oh, no, that was me.
That was you. Yes.
Not me. If you guys want to see my true feelings on a movie that was adapted from Stephen King book called The Running Man, go to our website and check it out. You'll find it back in the blog post. It's a couple of years ago that I wrote that. But anyway.
There's a lot to be said about some Stephen King movies are better than others.
Absolutely.
And some are quite disappointing.
Yes. And I can't wait to talk about that with you.
Yeah.
I want to hear your point of view from that, because there's some that are definitely my favorites and some that I like really just was disappointed in. Anyway, this just
they can't all be Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, dude. You had to go there?
I had to go there.
Okay.
Lawnmower Man.
No.
Let us not talk about our disappointments.
We'll get into that with another episode. So there's just a preview of things to come for Bonsai Retro Club and where we're going with that. And that's just one little topic that we're going to tackle. I have several other things in mind and the three of us have talked about different topics that we're going to be bringing up for the next year, 2020 coming up. And we're probably going to do a couple towards the end of the year here, wrapping up 2019 by covering 1979, 1989, and 1989 and some of the top pop culture subjects that were in the news back then. You know, whether it was music or movies or headlines or whatever.
Yeah, if anybody's listened to like our time capsule episodes, it'd be very much like that.
And those are fun. Those are always fun. I love doing
that. That's
cool. So, anyway. All right. That is all. I rambled on for another 9 minutes after I said I was going to wrap it up. I apologize. So, but that's what I do. Because I'm a rambler.
Ramblin'.
What movie is that from? Is that the jerk?
That's Steve Martin. It was one of his bits.
Oh, right. It was from his stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedy thing.
He played a banjo.
Oh, my God.
That's a good 70s topic.
That's Steve a Martin. Great 70s topic. I have that album on vinyl.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was classic.
Yeah, let's all get small. I'm going to get really small. All right. You guys have a great night. Sorry. Wrap it up.
Okay. Yeah.
Be excellent to each other and have a good whatever. Bye-bye.
Yes. Thank you, Dave, for throwing that in there at the end.
Yep.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production. Banzai, Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 Banzai!